So John chapter 2, we're going to look at this wedding feast at Cana. And it says, on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. And when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." And so they took it. And when the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Amen. And so this morning, what I want to do is we want to honor mothers this morning on Mother's Day. Because what would we do without our moms? We wouldn't be here. And want to just honor you, moms. So in fact, honor the woman amongst us as well, but honor moms in particular, as you have really lived by faith. You've brought up kids by faith. You've lived in marriages by faith. You have trusted God for finances by faith. You've been through difficult times and good times by faith. And God has supported you and God has carried you. And we want to say to you today, thank you. We honor your faith. We do. And we want to learn from this woman, Mary, because Mary was also a woman of faith. So we want to just zoom in on Mary this morning and see what we can learn from her. Jesus had just begun his public ministry. He'd just been baptized by John. He'd begun his public ministry. He's gathered a few disciples together. And then suddenly we find in the second chapter of John, he's at a wedding feast. Perhaps his mom was invited. She seems to have some kind of authority at this wedding. And Jesus is invited along as well. And here he performs his first miracle. He turns the water into wine. And the church has been trying to turn the wine back into water ever since. But Jesus turned the water into wine. And it was good stuff because the master of the banquet tasted it. And he said, "Man, you've kept the best until the end." And so Jesus provides a miraculous solution to a social crisis. And he manifests his glory. He lifts the veil and people see he's not just a man. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of the banquet who wants us to enjoy life. And it's significant for us that Jesus also launches his ministry at a celebration. It tells us something about who God is. It shows us that Jesus came to parties. Jesus came to connect with real people. He didn't just spend his time in synagogues. And being a Christian is not just what happens on Sundays, but God wants us to connect with people in real life as well. It also shows us that God believes in marriage. By being there, Jesus is endorsing marriage because marriage also speaks about the gospel and commitment and God's commitment to us as well. And so this first miracle, friends, it's a sign that Jesus was more than just a man, that he is Lord and he has transforming power. And he performs other miraculous signs as well. He multiplies loaves because he's the bread of life. He heals a blind man because he's the light of the world. He raises Lazarus from the dead because he's the Lord of life. And here at this wedding, he changes water into wine. These were, the water was ceremonial water used for washing of the body in Judaism. And Jesus turns that dull water of Judaism into the sparkling wine of Christianity. Hallelujah. The new wine of the Spirit, the new wine of the gospel. And there's gallons and gallons and gallons of it. And so friends, following Jesus is really like being at a wedding feast. where life is happening, although we are called to sacrifice, and the discovery of Jesus is the key to happiness, where there's feasting, and there's singing, and there's celebration. That's what the Christian life is about. And the story gives us a picture of that. And Jesus himself knew how to enjoy himself. He was called a drunkard. Jesus was called a drunkard and a glutton and a friend of sinners, yet he never sinned. And we need to learn from that as well. We need to do the same. We need to connect with people and enjoy life and not sin. That's what we need to do. And Jesus was like that. He's an enigma. He's a mystery. He's wonderfully inclusive of everyone. And yet he's sometimes confrontational. He includes everyone, but he has these tremendously high standards as he holds up the gospel. This is our Jesus. And sometimes people have rejected Jesus because they don't know who he really is. They think he's boring. They think he's just religious. They think Christianity is just about rules and regulations. But here Jesus is showing us that he's part of real life. And he wants us to enjoy our lives, and he wants us to connect with people. And you find him, he's whining and he's dining and he's connecting with people. And the gospel's still going forward. The kingdom is advancing. Hallelujah. But let's look at Mary this morning, because that's my real topic this morning. And I want you to, if we look at Mary, I want you to see that Mary kept faith in the midst of a crisis. She kept faith in the midst of the crisis. Under the surface, there was a crisis at this wedding. On the surface, everything seemed to be okay, but they didn't realize back in the kitchen or back in the storerooms, they'd run out of wine. They'd run out of wine, and that was a really serious situation. Because for a Jewish feast, wine was essential. It was part of the deal. The rabbis even said, if there's no wine, there's no joy. And if you ran out of wine, it was shameful. And a newly married couple did not just go on honeymoon, but they stayed there for a week's feasting and celebration. Hallelujah. And there was food and there was wine and there was laughing and there was dancing and there was celebration, because it's a picture of God's relationship with us. It was just wonderful. And the rabbis joined in as well. So you should never leave a pastor off your guest list. It's very important. But now at this wedding, the wine is gone. The wine has run out, and there's a crisis there. And I want to ask us this morning, what do you do when things run out in your own life? What do you do when some aspect of your life that used to be really working, be sparkling, you've been enjoying it, suddenly it runs out. Suddenly you go through a dry patch. Suddenly you go through a period where you're battling, you're struggling. And on the surface, people may think things are fine, but actually you know that there's some struggles. You're running out of resources. What do you do in situations like that? And maybe you're sitting in that situation this morning. Well, Mary, what Mary did is Mary took the need to Jesus. She said to him, Jesus, there's no more wine. We've run out of wine. Can you fix this? Can you do something? She kept faith for this situation that could have been a disaster for everyone. And I want you to notice, friends, how Jesus responds. He says to a woman, what have you got to do with me? It's quite a sort of strange response. It's like a rebuke. He's calling a woman, not dear woman, as it says in the NIV. They try to soften it because they thought it was a bit hectic when they translated it. It seems harsh. What's going on here? Well, Mary is pressing him to do something, but Jesus is now drawing a line in his relationship with his mom. Something has changed. And Jesus is declaring that he's beginning his public ministry, and he won't be dictated to. He won't follow anybody else's agenda. He's going to really obey the Father in the things he's called to do. He won't receive any human advice or agenda or manipulation, even from his own family. You see, Jesus' primary concern is to be obedient to his Father. And the fact that Jesus calls her woman and not mother shows that the relationship has changed. She's still his mom, but he's kind of putting her nicely or gently in her place. Things have changed. And what Mary is learning in her relationship with Jesus is that she now needs to learn to listen and not lead, because something's changed. And Jesus begins to exercise his authority. And he's soon to pick up the title of the Son of Man, not the Son of Mary or the Son of Joseph. Things have shifted. Things have changed. And Jesus himself knows what these changes mean. It means that he's going to begin his public ministry. He's going to go public. And in a few years from this, 3 years from this, he's going to go to the cross. And he knows more than she does what that will mean. He says to a woman, "My time has not yet come," because he knows what is to come, what is coming. And so what can we learn from this, friends? Well, firstly, we've got two principles here. I just want us to look into this and just learn from this as I meditated on this passage. There's the principle of honoring your parents, which is great, and it's in the Bible, and we need to honor our parents. Isn't that right? Yeah. Young folks say, yeah, great. But we also need to obey God. And sometimes, not often, but sometimes they can clash. Shouldn't Jesus have just said to his mother, "Don't worry, I'll just nip down to the shop and get a few bottles for the wedding"? But he didn't. He didn't do that. He didn't respond to her. He didn't just follow her. And friends, listen to me carefully. Sometimes, if you obey your family on issues, or if you just obey your culture on issues, it can hold you back spiritually. I remember when I first met Shannon many years ago. I remember my mom saying to us, "You guys should just move in together." He wasn't a Christian. "You guys should just move in together." And we had just become Christians. And I looked at Shannon, I think she was 18 or 19, and I thought, I'd really like to move in with Shannon. I really would. But we were Christians, and I knew that wouldn't be good. That wouldn't be right. So I had to say, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to listen to our families. And I found lately, perhaps particularly in Africa, the family can have a lot of pressure on you sometimes. Sometimes to do things that are actually going to hold you back. And here, Mary's kind of nicely pressurizing Jesus, and Jesus says, "No, I can't do that." And so sometimes we need to watch that. And as families, we need to watch what we do with our children. Are we pressurizing them to do things that actually are not helpful? Are we facilitating things, or are we hindering things? We need to think that through. We really need parents that are wise, that are going to facilitate things with their children and not just always be a problem to them. And we find that with Jesus. And secondly, let me say this. This may shock you, but God's will is not always what we want. God's will is not always what you desire. We must separate our desires from God's purposes. It's a sign of maturity if you can do that. And Mary's learning that lesson here. She's learning that she needs to separate the two. And Jesus learned that in a radical way in Gethsemane, where he prayed and he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." He said that 3 times. In fact, it was the only prayer he prayed. And so we can learn these things. But if we read the story further, we find that Jesus nevertheless responded to her request. But we see that he responds, friends, by taking over. That's how he responds. He responds by taking over. That's how Jesus works in our lives. He gives instructions. He takes charge. He performs miracles. He doesn't always just follow us. He takes over. He says, "Okay, you're praying about this. I'll step in. I'll take over. Let me take over." And friends, Jesus must come first in our lives, and even before our families and our desires. He must be Lord of all, or not Lord at all. And Mary, I just love Mary. Mary just does so well. She doesn't get offended and go and sulk in the corner with her friend, drinking her last glass of wine. She doesn't get offended. She takes the rebuke. And she keeps believing for a breakthrough. It's incredible. She keeps believing for a breakthrough. And she begins to impact others with her faith, moms. That's what she does. She goes to the servants. What made her go to the servants? Jesus never said anything to her. But in her heart, she believed God was going to do something. And so she goes to the servants. And she says to them, listen, that's my son. His name is Jesus. Do whatever he tells you to do. Hallelujah. Perhaps she had some authority, but she displays great attitude and great faith. How many moms would go to a banquet today and say, just do whatever my son tells you to do? Probably not many. Whatever he tells you to do, check with me first. Don't do it. But she keeps believing. She holds on to faith, friends, and she witnesses the first of Jesus' great signs. Listen, moms, listen. A mother's faith is so powerful. A mother's faith is so strategic. It gives birth to stuff. That's what moms do. They give birth to stuff. Not just in the natural, but in the spiritual. Because faith is believing God. It's being sure of what God has said to us. It trusts His word and His character. A Christian is a believer. And friends, we must live by faith. And that's what Mary does. Moms, I want to activate your faith today. I want to activate your faith in this message today. My friend T.D. Jakes says, do you have faith to trust God for something else while you're still dealing with the present crisis? Do you have faith to trust God for the future while you still have a challenge in the present? Because sometimes we're so busy dealing with the present, there's no wine, what are the guests going to say, what should I do, that we don't have faith to look beyond that. But Mary had expectation. She didn't lose her expectation. She went to the servant. She said, listen, just get ready, get ready, get ready. Whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Something's going to happen here. I believe it. She was a woman of great faith. Don't lose your faith, ladies. Don't lose your expectation for the future. Don't let the devil rob you of your faith. Don't come to accept a wedding with no wine, or a life without purpose, or kids that are not yet saved. Trust God for breakthrough. Hallelujah. Keep exercising your faith. We look at the Bible, maybe one of these days we'll do a series on believing women, but we find the Samaritan woman believed when Jesus told her he was the Messiah. Mary Magdalene was the first to believe at the resurrection. The prostitute in the house of Simon the Pharisee, whose sins he forgave, she believed. Elizabeth, the mother of John, believed in the Virgin Mary's secret pregnancy. She believed. Anna, the prophetess, believed when she saw the baby in the temple. She began to prophesy. She said, this baby's different. God's going to do something with this baby. And Mary carried on believing. Mothers, I want to encourage you today. Please infect us with your faith. Please release your faith. Keep believing. We need it. God is more for us. And so often believing women have changed situations in families, in people's lives. We pray today for little Orifa. We prayed by faith that he would grow up to know Jesus. Hallelujah. Things change when we believe. Things change when we pray. And I want to encourage you this morning to do that. I want to kind of activate you, woman. I want to activate the mothers to keep believing, to keep believing God for more, to keep believing God for breakthrough in this church, to see the glory of God come in this place. Hallelujah. That's what Mary does. And she goes to the servants and she points the servants to Jesus and she kind of disciples them. She says, listen, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. She opens up their expectation. She opens up their world. They're standing there by the water pots. And she says, whatever he tells you to do, whatever's going to happen, whatever word he gives you, whatever command he gives you, just do it. Because it's Jesus we're talking about. Just do whatever he tells you to do. Just do it. Don't just pray about it. Don't just do it partially. Don't just fill up one water jar and check how it's going. Don't just Google how many liters are in the water jars first. But just do it. Just obey. Just do it. Friends, not everything in life is a process. Sometimes we just need to do what God's telling us to do. We just need to believe. We need to trust Him. And that's what Mary does. She says, do it and do it well. Fill it to the brim. Don't do a half job. Be good servants. And notice what happens. 600 liters. 600 liters are filled up. All the ceremonial washing water is turned into choice wine. And Jesus manifests His glory. And the veil is lifted and they see Him for who He really is. And the disciples believe in Him. Friends, God does stuff sometimes just to bless us. He doesn't just meet our needs. You'll find throughout the Gospels that God overdoes things. He kind of gets it wrong. He overdoes things. So you'll find that there's too much wine at this wedding. They've got to drink their way through 600 liters of good stuff. When He feeds the multitudes, He feeds 5,000. They reckon there might have been 12,000 with the women and children. There's 12 basketfuls of stuff left over. When they're going fishing with Jesus, they catch so many fish that the nets begin to break. He pays the same wages for someone who's worked for Him the whole day and the same to someone who's just worked for an hour. So He's still employing people at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And He says to the guy, how long have I got to work? And you've got to work till 4 o'clock. And He pays that guy the same as the guy that started at 8. And then He says, don't complain about my generosity. I want to bless people. Friends, that's the God we serve. Hallelujah. It's His character to be gracious. That's why I believe Jesus died for everyone. God does more than we expect. And Mary played her part in this. She was kind of a link in the chain. She prepared the servants and she lifted their expectation. Moms, you need to lift our expectations. Lift the expectation of your husband. Lift the expectation of others. Because Jesus can do anything. He really can do anything. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that? He can do anything. Hallelujah. And Mary played a wonderful part in this. As I studied her character, I thought, this woman's just great. She's a great mom. She's fantastic. And then we find finally that Mary's believing, not just at this wedding, but right till the end of Jesus' life, she's still believing. Turn with me to John chapter 19, please. John chapter 19, and we find that Jesus is now on the cross. He's come to the end of His ministry. And here in verse 25, Jesus is on the cross and He's got a little group of people gathered around Him, a little group of believers. The other disciples have deserted Him. And there, verse 25, it says, but standing by the cross of Jesus was His mother and His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Lots of Marys there. When Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing nearby, He said to His mother, woman, behold your son. He pointed her to John and He said to her, Mary, this is now your new son. Behold your son. And He points and He says to John, behold your mom. John had a mother, Salome. So John was Jesus' cousin, but He said, I want you to take Mary as your mom as well. Hallelujah. Friends, if we look at the life of Mary, right in the beginning as a teenager, maybe she was 18, I don't know, 17, but she believed when the angel visited her as a virgin and said, you're going to be pregnant real soon. And she kept her faith until the cross, 30 years later. She kept believing. And there are lessons for us all here as we navigate the different seasons of life. As you go through the difference, particularly as a mom, so many changes, so many different seasons. I would encourage you to keep believing. Keep faith. The Bible doesn't elevate Mary on a par with Jesus. You know, she's not the mother of God that we pray to like the Catholics do. And she doesn't have a hotline to Jesus. No, we have a hotline to Jesus. But she is to be commended because she kept faith. She had faith in the beginning amidst a virgin pregnancy, a controversial marriage, and some hectic prophecies about the suffering that she would endure through her son. She had faith for the boy Jesus, who was clearly different and about his father's business. She had faith at the wedding where she learned to listen and not just to lead. She had faith in this final chapter as she's watching her son die upon the cross. She's a woman of faith. And at the end, we see that Jesus is also still caring for her. And he places her in a new family with John and his mom. Notice, he gives her to John, who is a believer, instead of his own brothers who were not yet believers. So he prioritizes the people of God over his own family. Because his own brothers, it's there in John chapter 7, I think verse 5, it says this. John chapter 7, it says, "For even his own brothers, for not even his own brothers believed in him." And so what Jesus does in caring for his mom, he makes sure she's placed in the family of God, in amongst the people of faith. She's probably a single mom by now because Joseph is not mentioned in the Gospels. And she had no other means of support. And so Mary enters into a final phase of her life. It's called old age repositioning. Some of you know about that. Isn't that true? Here we go, I've got another phase of my life now. It's old age repositioning. She's lost her husband, she's a widower, and now suddenly she's part of another family. She has to connect with this family, this new family. It's a whole new deal for her. And friends, these seasons in Mary's life, woman, listen to me, these seasons in her life from caring for the Savior with Jesus dependent, to celebrating at Cana with Jesus triumphant, to crying at the cross with Jesus on death row, she kept faith. She kept faith. And so as I close this morning, what season are you in now? Moms, what season are you in? Maybe you're a young mom learning to trust God with your future. Even young woman, maybe you're learning to trust God. I encourage you to keep doing that. Maybe you're a single mom. We've got single moms here. I just say to you, well done. I think you guys are the heroes. You guys are the heroes, single moms. Honestly. When I look after kids for one day, by 5 o'clock, little kids, I need a 2-week holiday. Well done. And maybe you're a bit older, and you're learning now to take your hands off, and to listen, and not to lead. You want to... But I would encourage you to still be active within the family of God. Don't just prioritize your own family over the people of God. Jesus places her within the people of God. And keep faith in Jesus as you navigate these changes. My own mom died a few years ago, and she struggled big time at the end of her life because she had no faith. She had no faith. But if you keep faith, it's a different matter. It's a different story. And for us as a congregation, I would encourage us to keep honoring and caring for the mothers in our midst. And make sure they find their place in the family of God as well. And to keep providing for them as well. Let's do that as the family of God, just as Jesus did. And so in conclusion, as I just sum up this morning, Christianity is not just about obeying rules and rituals. There are things we need to obey. It's faith and obedience, but God also calls us to a banquet. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And God wants to be experienced and the wine of his kingdom. I think this is a picture of the latter day outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Gallons and gallons of new wine. Hallelujah. Let's not lose expectation. Let's not lose our expectation while we're busy with present problems. Because Jesus can exceed everyone's expectation. And he does that at this wedding feast. He exceeds the expectation of his mom, the disciples, the master of the feast, the wedding guests. This is a wedding gone wild. Because Jesus is there. Hallelujah. And friends, as I close, we have moms in this church who are like Mary, who believe God. I want to encourage you to keep doing that. Keep influencing us. Keep praying. Keep trusting God. Keep your expectation up there. Come to the prayer meeting and infect us with your faith. Keep believing God for us. Hallelujah. So often it's been a group of praying women that have ushered in the revival that we're longing for. Hallelujah. Amen. Praying women, believing God, trusting God. That's what we want. Your prayers carry weight and blessing. Believe for breakthrough. Believe for breakthrough in your family, in your life, in this church, in this nation. Amen. And friends, such blessing is possible because of Jesus, because of who he is. And Jesus, we find in this last chapter of his life, he paid the price. He died on the cross to pay for our sins so that we could be ushered into God's heavenly banquet. He paid the price that we can enter freely. He was shut out that we could be let in. He was flogged so that we could feast. That's our Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. I just want us to pray. Just put your hand on a young woman next to you or a mom next to you. And I just want you to make sure everyone, just pray for them. If there's a couple of women standing together, just put your hands on each other. And Lord, we just want to thank you this morning. We want to thank you for Mary's faith, that she kept believing through the different stages in her life. And Father, I want to pray this morning for the moms and the women in our midst, that you would bless them and you would increase their faith in Jesus' name. That expectation wouldn't die, but rise, and they would see breakthrough, Lord. We ask you, Lord, for that this morning. We pray for many moms to find an explosion of faith as we trust you, Lord, for great things, for more that is yet to come. Lord, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for those today that feel the wine has run out, that there is a lack, that they are facing crises. Lord, we would keep believing. We would trust you for breakthrough, that we would be open to whatever you're going to do. And you would do it, Lord. You would step in. As we've celebrated Victor and Vuya's baby, Lord, years and years of praying, you've done it. Lord, do it again and again. And again and again, we ask this for your glory.